Ladies, would you open your Bibles to Matthew 7 and let's stand up to read God's word. Cheesy is going to read Matthew 7, 21 to 23. And I want to help you identify whether you are free or not. We're going to sort of take a test this morning. And I'm going to show you four things that prove that you're free. And if those things aren't in your life, then you have some work to do today, but guess what? We're going to help you do that work, and we're going to believe that God sets us free. Let me pray before we read this. Lord Jesus, thank you for these women. Oh, Lord, would you come into this room? Would you come into these words? You are in the words that Cheesy's going to speak because you ordained and authored these words. Would you come into my words, Lord? Would you still and quiet fear in every heart? Loneliness, would you erase it, Lord? Would you help us, Father, to just come before you, hear from you, and be set free as your word promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Matthew 7. We're reading from verse 21 to 23. Y'all ready? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Now, we're starting out heavy, aren't we? Have a seat. Is there a counterfeit to knowing God? Yes, absolutely. The Bible tells us that the demons know God and they shudder. They shudder. They are afraid. But they believe in him. They don't worship and know him. They believe him. And some of you in this room know him from a mental standpoint. You go to church, you go to Christian school, you're homeschooled, and you have Bible class. You do all the things. You say all the words. You may even go on missions trips. But you kind of sit back and you're like, I don't know how I feel about this Christian thing. Why don't I feel better about it? Shouldn't there be more? If it's real, why aren't there great, awesome things happening? And I want to impart to you that it's okay to ask that question, those questions, and feel those feelings if you take them to Jesus. And I want to posit the thought that maybe there is more for you, that maybe you aren't experiencing the real, authentic knowing of who God is. The Bible says that when you truly know him, you are free. When you truly know him, you are free. Are you truly free? I want to share with you four evidences of spiritual freedom. But first, let me back up and say that before you can know someone, you have to meet them, right? I'm meeting some of you for the first time, and I'm saying hi, and now we can start a relationship. Some of you, as I've seen you in the halls, I know you well, and we're friends. Like, I see Sadie from my church back there. Hi, Sadie. I know Sadie. Like, I have met her long ago. I know Sadie. You have to meet someone. And for me, that happened when I was about 4.5 years old. My mother had just come to know Jesus in a hospital room. She had a baby that was dying. He was in a coma. And a pastor came into the room and said, I don't know if God's going to heal your baby, but I know he wants to rescue your heart. And he shared with her the plan of salvation, and she received Christ. And my mom was radically new woman. She was a radically different woman. And she prayed for that baby, and that baby was healed. But she was so different that it made me want to be different too. And even as just a 4.5-year-old girl, I remember sitting in my backyard because my mom had organized a 5-day club. And I remember the crack in the sidewalk. I remember the scent of the pine trees. I remember there was a little American flag in the grass planted in front of us. And I remember the words when I understood that I had sinned and that Jesus died for me, that he wanted to be in relationship with me. I met Jesus that day. I surrendered my life to him that day. And I want to say this, that if you remember a moment like that, when you yielded your life to Jesus, these four things that I'm going to say are tests you should pass. If you have never yielded your life to Jesus, these things might not even make any sense to you. And I feel like it's important to say that. So let's try to blast through these. Remember, I'm just setting up the day, so we're going to blast through them very quickly, not develop them very much. But the first evidence that you know God and are experiencing freedom is that you will be in the process of being fully healed. Now, it doesn't mean you're fully healed. Like I just talked about, that I used to really struggle with fear of teaching. It doesn't mean that I'm not still a little afraid sometimes, but I am in process of being healed. There has been progress. Open your Bibles to Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12. It says, "Therefore, my dear friends, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Salvation is a free gift from God. You have no work to do to receive his salvation. So why does it say in here, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Because there's the word sozo in this verse. S-O-Z-O. Sozo is the word for salvation. It's a Greek word that means saved and fully healed. And some of you, I'm fearful, in this room are saved all the way. You're not going to lose that. But you're depressed and angry and stressed and lonely and addicted and in bondage. You are not in process of being fully healed. God wants both of those things to be present in your life. So sanctification is the work of being made holy, right? We use that big fancy word in Christian circles. And there is something called instant sanctification. The moment you receive Christ as your Lord, you are made clean enough and pure enough to be in the presence of the living, loving God. Before that, you haven't been clean enough and whole enough to be in the presence of the living, loving God. And that is an instant thing. But then there's this thing called progressive sanctification. And that's the work we start in cooperating with God to be fully healed. That's why it can say in Philippians 2:12, continue to work out your salvation. And I heard something years ago that really ministered to me. God wants progress, not perfection. God wants progress, not perfection. He does not expect you to be, he does not expect me to stand here before you and not have any qualms or fears about teaching. But he does expect me not to be where I was when I was 30 years old and terrified and in tears and in a fetal position before I did it, right? Because he wants my progress, but he doesn't expect my perfection. Hebrews 10:14 says, "By one sacrifice, Christ has made finished perfect forever. Christ has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Being made holy. You hear that? Being made holy. It's a process. And you can see that language in many verses where God says, become pure, become holy. It's a work that we do with him. We have to be in cooperation with him. I want to say that one of the keys to that work is full confession. Not just to God, but to each other. I was stuck from the age of 15 to 26. I think up to the age of 15, I was progressing in my sanctification. I was progressing in my holiness, in my healing. And then when I was 15, I sinned sexually. And I thought that was the worst sin. And nobody else in my church had done that. Nobody in my youth group had done that. So I didn't tell anyone. And from 15 to 26, even though I broke up with that boy, I wasn't in a relationship with that boy, I went on, I lived a life of purity, I got married, I had a baby, two babies. For 11 years, I didn't tell anybody. And for those 11 years, I can look at them, and I was sitting in a pew, and I was saying the words, and I wasn't whole and healed. I was stuck. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins one to another, and then you will be healed." Whatever sin you're struggling with, whatever addiction you have going on in your life, whatever secret that maybe it's a sin somebody's committed against you, you're not going to find the full healing until you tell someone. Tell a woman in this room, we have prayer counselors available for you. You can tell them anything. Walk up to me or Aaron or Cheesy. You can tell us. Talk to your mom tonight in your hotel room. But I think you're going to be stuck. When I finally did that, I told two people, my mom and my husband. And they will tell you that when I finally told them this 10-year-old secret, this 11-year-old secret, it was like a new salvation. He was alive in me. I was cooperating once again by obeying his word and doing. So I have this question. Are you progressing towards full healing? God doesn't want perfection, but he wants progress. If you need healing today, tell someone. The second evidence of full freedom is that his voice becomes familiar. John 10:27. Let's look at that verse. John 10:27. The one who knows God hears and knows his voice. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. How does a voice become familiar to you? How is it that when your mom walks in the room, if you were blindfolded and 15 moms said your name, you would know which one was your mom, right? When your friend walks into a room, you know what her voice sounds like. It's because you're interacting and the voice is becoming familiar to you. As you spend time with Jesus in his word and in prayer, his voice becomes familiar to you. What does that sound like? Well, for me, sometimes it's like when Aaron testified about having God speak to her, I will never leave you or forsake you, right? She'd heard that verse a lot of times, but in that prayer room, it had weight. It had weight. That was God. That was God's voice being familiar to her. Recently, one of the things I do in my devotion time is I have a journal. I like to fill a page. That makes me feel good. I usually have a Bible study going on. I like to finish my homework. That makes me feel good. I am a high-performing individual. I'm kind of like a beaver. I want to, you know, if you are teaching me a message and you skip one of the fill in the blanks, I'm going to twitch a little. Anybody out there like that? So sometimes I can get so into my performance in my devotional time that God's Spirit asked me to step back from those tools. And 2 weeks ago, I was just about ready to have some time. I had my candle lit. I had my tea in my beautiful teacup from my mama. I had my journal. It was blank page. Whoo, gonna fill that up. I had my diva, all this stuff. And I was like, here we go, Jesus. This is what I felt him say in my heart. Not a Bible verse at all. He said, Dana, what would it look like if you walked out in the field right now and just let me love you? Well, it would feel like I wasn't working hard enough. And he said, what would it look like if you just went out in the field and let me love you? And I was like, well, I wouldn't get my Bible homework done and I'd be behind the rest of them. And he said it again. What would it look like if you went out in the field right now and just let me love you? Now, I didn't hear an audible voice of God, but have you ever had that happen to you where you're like, I know that thought was from Jesus. I know it was him. Maybe you've been, you're on a bus on a youth trip or something, and God says, go sit with that one. She looks lonely. And you're like, but I'm sitting with my BFF, right? You know, his voice becomes familiar. How many of you have had moments like that where you hear his, it's not necessarily a word from scripture, but his voice is familiar. Raise your hands. Girls, when you are walking in freedom, that is a normal thing for you. You hear his voice. So when was the last time you recognized God's voice? If you can't remember, there's some freedom for you here. Number three, you will become a fruitful follower. You will become a fruitful follower. God's word says not to be just hearers of his voice, but doers. So when he says, go and do the thing I just said to do, and you don't do it, you're not a fruitful follower. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Hear that a little bit differently. Not just do we hear his voice, and it's familiar to us, But we listen to it, we obey it, and we follow him. We do what he says. I went out in a field that day. I sat with my baby goats bouncing all over my body. I listened to some worship music, and I just sat under a tree because I was being obedient to God. A couple days later, there was a crisis on my Secret Keeper Girl tour team, and I had one weekend off this month, and I was looking forward to it so I could ride my horses, bake cookies, do all the things you like to do on days off, right? And I really wish that what I had heard the familiar voice of God say is, go sit in a field all weekend. Instead, he said, buy a ticket to Dallas. You need to go minister to that team and take care of them. I bought a ticket to Dallas, and I went to Dallas and I ministered to that team. We have to be obedient followers of Christ. And when we are obedient, we're fruitful. I want to tell you a story of a time that I heard God's voice. It sounded, because it's familiar to me, and he asked me to do something I didn't want to do, and it did grow fruit. I was on a cruise with a couple of my best friends, and it's funny. On the way to that cruise, I had said, Lord, I really need a break. Could I just not minister to anybody on this trip? Could you just minister to me on this trip? Could you just fill me? Can I have time in the lounge chairs where I read your word and I fill my journal? Because that makes me feel, you know. And this is what God said to me in the quiet of my spirit. You must not want much of me. You must not want much of me. See, I was saying, Lord, I want to be filled, but I don't want to pour out. You see, we're supposed to be so full that it pours out of us, and that's fruitful, right? And so when I said, Lord, I want filled but on this trip, but can you not use me? He said, you must not want too much of me. And I understood that what he was saying was, it doesn't really work like that. If you want a bunch of me, it's going to have to spill and scatter. So we're on a catamaran, and we're going to go snorkeling. I don't know why. They stuff like 5,000 people on those catamarans, and they think you're going to go have a peaceful experience in the water, but only if someone barfs does that happen, because that did happen. I saw there was no fish because everyone was afraid, like 500 people get in the water, and then someone barfed, and I was like, where'd all the fish come from, and what is that they're eating? And my friend was laughing. She's like, that girl over there just barfed, and I was like, I swam in that barf. But I'm on this catamaran on the way back, and it was kind of a cheap cruise, so there were a lot of girls that were hungover and drunk, a lot of guys too, but I was seeing the girls. And the Lord said to me, go pray for that one. She was obviously hungover. She was calling it seasickness. And I was like, Lord. He said, Dana, do you want me to fill you up? Because if you do, it's got to have to pour out. And I said, okay, but this catamaran isn't that big. Like, everyone's going to see the blonde with their Bible running over there to pray for the drunk girl. Like, and what? And so he said, Dana, you have some motion sickness medicine in your bag. And that's what she's saying she has. So start there. So I walked over and I said, hey, can I just give you some of this? You said you weren't feeling so good. Maybe this will help. And she's like, oh, that'd be awesome. So I went and I got her some water. I felt everyone's eyes watching me, taking care of the drunk girl. And I gave her the pill. I gave her some water. And then I did what I was terrified to do, and I obeyed the Lord. And I said, and I feel like God wants me to pray for you. Can I do that? And she looked up at me with the eyes of a believer that was in full repentance. And she said, I really need that today. And a tear slipped down her cheek. And I just quietly pulled her close and I prayed in her ear. And then I started to walk back. And the girl next to her tugged on my little cover up and she said, could I have some of that too? And she wasn't talking about the motion sickness. She wanted to be prayed for. And I prayed for 4 or 5 hungover drunk girls on that boat. I don't know how God used it that day, but I know that I was fruitful because I was a follower. I said, yes, Lord, I will be obedient to you. And then the fourth evidence is this. You fathom that knowing God is unfathomable. I don't know how to say this except that the closer I've gotten to know Jesus, as I have gone about the work of knowing him, and his voice becomes more familiar, and I am more fruitful, I realize somehow the gap between me and him seems bigger, not smaller. And it's not because he's not pleased, and it's not because I'm not fulfilled. It's because I am more aware of what a big God he is and how very much I want to be like him and how very long that's going to take. Would you open to 2 Corinthians 12? This is where I want to close. Cheesy's going to come up, and we're going to have some time to respond to God's word. 2 Corinthians 12. Verses 2 and 4. This is the Apostle Paul having a vision. I know a man in Christ. He's talking about himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the holy or out of the body, I do not know. It was so real to him, knowing God, hearing his voice. He didn't know if it was just in his head or if God had physically taken him to a place. I do not know, but God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which may not utter. Paul had such a rich encounter of knowing God that he didn't even understand it fully. But he did know that God did. He had such a rich encounter that it took him 14 years to speak about it. And then he didn't even explain it all to us. Because it was this intimate knowing. Intimacy with God, you get to a place where it's a private event. It's so special and it's such a treasure that it's just for you. It's not about you. And I've gotten to times where I have to repent because I take the deep knowing that I have with God and I throw it all around when sometimes it's just for me. These are the four evidences. You'll be in the process of being fully healed. Are you in process of being fully healed or do you feel spiritually sick? 2, his voice becomes familiar. When was the last time you heard it? 3, you become fruitful followers. That means you obey. And 4, you begin to understand, you begin to fathom that he is unfathomable. Would you close your eyes? Cheesy's going to come. I want you to just think for a moment. Which of those things speaks clearly to your heart? And you are sure, without a doubt, that you need to pursue a specific area of freedom today. Maybe you need to tell someone about your sin or your hurt. Maybe you need to say, God, speak. I want to hear your voice. Maybe you need to make a decision to obey him because you haven't been. What do you need to do? As we sing this first song, I want you to take some time and just write it down. Journal it. Write down what God needs you to do. What did he just do to speak to your heart? And it may be, hey, I don't remember a time when I yielded my heart to you. And I'm going to do that right now, today.